Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
You are here. That video is a promo for an environment we've been talking about for the last few weeks here at Wellspring called Parenting Through the Phases. We are very, very excited about that. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. And we're in the middle of a series that we are calling Family Circus. And today's going to be a little different. We're really, really excited about it because for the last few weeks, we've basically in this room been talking about some principles from God that we believe will make our families better and stronger. We've been also offering some opportunities for you to take next steps to get into some partnerships. That's what that Parenting Through the Phases environment is all about. And so today what we've decided to do is to try to kind of combine the practical with the partnership. We've been actually taking questions from you guys over the last few weeks, and what we decided to do today is we're going to answer some of those questions. And I say we because you don't want me answering all these questions. So what I've decided to do is I'm going to bring some of our friends out here, and we're going to have a conversation and answer some of your questions. So help me welcome my lovely wife, Danielle, to the stage. We've got April Colquitt, our children's director. We've got Eric Colquitt, our student director. And we're very, very excited about this. It's going to be fun. You guys have submitted some amazing questions. And so we're just going to have a conversation about your questions. And first thing to say, we are all complete experts in this.
Yes.
We have nailed this.
We know all the answers.
We've got it. Just do what we say. Guaranteed success.
Oh, my goodness. You are
right?
Not.
That's right. Oh,
yeah. Wrong.
No, wrong. That is wrong.
I said that wrong.
Yes.
We don't know everything, but we do love to get to share the few things, little bitty things that we do know.
That's right.
And because we do this, this is Eric and I's work. This is what we do. I lead our kids team and Eric's on students. And so we get to meet a lot of families and talk to a lot of you and walk you through with you through some things that you are dealing with. And we have three kids of our own. And so this is just kind of, we could talk about these things all day long. So this will be fun.
Yeah, we just want to share a little bit about what we've learned as we even parent together.
Yeah. If this is your first time, they have three kids. We have three kids. They're all about the same ages. So we do a lot of parenting.
And those ages are?
We're 8, 11, and 13. We're all like 3rd, 5th, and 7th graders.
Yeah.
So
fun.
If you have a high school senior, you're probably like, oh my goodness, you just haven't even
walked
just this yet. Yeah.
But that said, we go to other people for help when we're struggling in parenting and family life. And so we're going to let you hear from some other people today besides us, that you're going to get to hear from some people who lead in different areas and different teams in our church. Some of them are going to be leading at the Parenting Through the Phases series. So I'm excited for you to get to hear from some of those people today as we tackle these questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's jump in. Here's the first question. How does the relationship you have with your spouse play a part in your kids' lives and how you parent them? What would you guys say?
You go first.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
So that's actually it's a very important question. And for me in our family, in our life, there are two primary relationships I have. My first primary relationship is with Jesus. 100%. My relationship with him drives everything else. Second to that is my relationship with Danielle. And so I know as my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with her goes, so goes the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So the best, most loving thing I can do for my boys, my three sons, is to make sure I have a healthy, growing relationship with Jesus and a healthy, growing relationship with their mother. And so those two relationships get priority over everything else because I know that's the best for them. We were flying this week. We were in Dallas for a conference, and I was reminded of this. You know, when you're flying and they're doing the safety training, and they tell you, you know, in case of emergency, the masks are going to pop down. I love that they think we'll be calm when the masks pop down, because what we'll do when the masks pop down is go, ah! But if you aren't, they say, what do they say to do? They say, put your mask on first and then put your child's mask on. That's how I view my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with Danny. It's primary and it's best for the entire family, including my kids, to make sure we're good and healthy and whole.
Yeah, and a practical way that we do this is we communicate a lot. When we don't want to, when I'm kind of frustrated with him, he's kind of frustrated with me.
What do you get frustrated with me about?
Oh, not much.
Please
really, it's not much. I mean, there's a few things. But
not much.
That's not true.
It is true. But
We define much differently, I guess.
We'll save that for another talk.
Yeah, he says I'm a heavy sigher. Like, you know, so I think you read into my heavy sighs as I'm frustrated more than I'm not. But anyway, that's a whole other topic. But we communicate a lot about everything. Decisions, money, kids, everything. In fact, I always laugh. I'm like, when our kids are on, like, the counselor's couch one day laying out, they're gonna be like, oh my gosh, my family talks so much, because we talk about everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's key, is you just push through, talk, be on the same team, and be filled with Jesus before you go to them. Those are exactly what you said.
Something else I've seen you guys do that's related to this is, so you make your relationship a priority, and the way you do that is that you date each other. So you carve out time for you guys to be alone without the kids.
Yeah.
And so that's so important as you build on that relationship.
We do. I still ask her to be my girlfriend.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, I'll be like, you be my girlfriend?
You be my girlfriend.
Sometimes that's she good. Says yes.
And I'll say, if you want to be my boyfriend, we're going to spend our date day at Costco, because that's what we do.
Not a joke. Not a joke. We don't have date nights because our kids are too old. We have date days. It's Friday when they're in school. That's why we get real sad when school's out.
Yeah, it's the longest time. 3 months. We love them, but good night.
But no, some of you have actually seen us. Our date days, Friday, I take the kids to school. I go to the gym, come home. We get dressed. We typically go to Costco. We walk around. Some of you have seen us, and you're like, oh, you're on your date. And we're like, yep, and we're dating. Sometimes we'll get like a hot dog and a piece of pizza for like $2. It's the cheapest date in the world. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's the little things.
That's good. Costco.
That's right. All right, so here's another question. Are there any non-negotiables when it comes to family activities and time together? What are the non-negotiables?
Non-negotiables.
Yeah, I definitely think you have. She's really helped with this, some non-negotiables. I talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. Church is a non-negotiable for our family. Mm-hmm. We don't think about it. We don't talk about it. I work here, so. but the things of church, those are non-negotiables. One thing that's really important to Danielle is that we eat meals together.
Yeah, we share this love.
And that changes with different seasons and different phases. Right now, our kids are into elementary, into middle school, and so we have to be pretty strategic about that. She actually sits down and plans out our meals a week in advance, and we'll kind of circle. Maybe we can have dinner this night or this. And sometimes that means, like, sandwiches. Sometimes it means we ordered pizza.
Yes.
But it's we sit around the table together. The television is off. The screens are off. No phones at the table. And we are going to sit here, and we are going to talk like a nice, normal family.
You will like it.
I could get Jacob to sit in his chair for more than 2 minutes, it would be a miracle. I keep thinking it'll rub off, but yeah.
No, that's a non-negotiable in our house, too. If we're all home, we all eat together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of, sometimes we're not all there. But when we are, everybody's expected to come to the table. But there's another couple that I wanted you guys to hear from. Some of you may know Scott and Aaron Dietrich. They are both running their own businesses. They have 4 children that are elementary down all the way down to toddler age. And they both serve in our Wellspring Kids elementary environment on Sunday mornings during the 8:30 hour. And so I want you to hear from them, because I knew that they would have some pretty great insight on non-negotiables when it comes to their family life.
Yeah.
I would just say that, I mean, some of the non-negotiables is just staying consistent with schedules and with what we do. For example, bedtime is 7:30, and it's important for the kids to get rest, that's why, but more importantly, it's for us to have our time together, whether that be doing the dishes or sitting on the couch or just talking to each other, or if we're in separate rooms, it's still kind of, it's our time.
The kids know that, you know, we kind of check out at 7 o'clock and we're off the clock, and that is our time to talk about our days, to relax, do whatever, you know, we want to do. And we've given them our attention all day, and, you know, it's kind of our time to be in sync with each other, I guess. And, you know, we've always done that, and the kids know, you know, that it's not something that's up for, you know, discussion or anything.
Yeah, so being teammates and just being able to know each other's roles or what we're good at, I mean, we never fight. We always get along, and so never. It's just crazy. It's one of those things where it's kind of perfect. But, I mean, not only, you know, do we submit to God, but we also, to, you know, submit to each other, too, and know what we're important at. I'm a little cleaner. I like dishes to be done and clothes to be folded and baseboards to be wiped. Whereas Erin's a little bit more creative. She dresses the kids because if I did that, it probably wouldn't end up too well. So, I mean, would you agree? I mean,
yeah, I think really that we know that we're a team, that these aren't his kids, they aren't my kids, this isn't his family, this isn't my family, this is our family, and we're in this together. And the way that we are going to make this work and the best that it works for us is really, you know, doing 50-50. Like Scott said, there's certain strengths he has and there's certain strengths I have. He's really good about getting everybody up in the morning, including myself,
mm-hmm. And packing, five kids.
And packing lunches and stuff. Whereas, you know, I'm really good at other things as far as, you know, like activities and school events and little things like that, little details. So really, I mean, we've never been like, kind of like, this is your job, this is my job. You know, it's like, we're a team, this is our house, this is our family. And the only way it's going to work is when we, you know, work together.
That was good. I love how they talked about how their kids know it's bedtime. We used to call it Operation Night Night. And Trey would literally come home at 5 p.m. and be like, Operation Night Night yet? I mean, David was in bed at 6:30, poor thing.
I heard somebody say like 7:30 when they said that. It was like, yes, it is okay for you to say, you're going to your room now. If you don't fall asleep at 7:30, that's your business, but this is our time. That's okay. So obviously there's times when you can't do that, when you have really little, you know, kids that don't sleep through the night yet or they're sick or whatever, but it's okay to have that time and to protect that time. We were asked another question that I get asked frequently as the kids director, and it is, what things should I be doing at home to teach my kids the Bible?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? Oh, my goodness. So I will tell you, when I knew they were going to ask this question, I was like, oh, my gosh, what do we do? Because I was reflecting on the fact that when my kids were younger, that time I used to read the Bible to them because they couldn't read yet. And so I felt like I had a much bigger hand in them actually reading the Bible when they were younger. But now that they're older, it's much more of a conversation because they can all read on their own. They go to bed at night. Now, we do make sure they have the right resources, which we have great resources on our parent wall, right Bibles for their age appropriateness. But this has definitely turned into, there's a verse in Deuteronomy 11:19 where it talks about when you wake up, when you go to bed, when you sit, when you walk, you talk about these things, you talk about the things of God. And we've definitely seen that grow. It's so fun, by the way. Oh, it's so fun when you get to actually live out making decisions and seeking God in everything that you do. And that's where you bring in God's word a ton. My kids know in the mornings when they come downstairs, I get up before them to have my quiet time. So every morning they see the Bible out on the table. And if we actually all get to sit down and I'm just not throwing a granola bar at them, we will discuss it, what we've been talking about here on Sundays. And that's when I pull out, I'm going to probably step on your toes a bit, but the Parent Q app that we have here, it is amazing. It will tell you exactly what they're learning here. And we go over the verse and we talk about practical ways to do that. And it's at my fingertips. And they actually really love it. And that's one of the things we do is also when we leave here on Sundays, I always say, did you have fun? What did you learn? Normally, like, did you behave? I phrase it more positively, though. I say, did you make your volunteers' day better? That's how I say it. But what I really mean is, how much trouble did you get in? But yeah, those are some practical ways that we do that.
So I would say two things about this whole idea about the Bible. One's going to be a little challenging, and one's going to be hopefully comforting and encouraging. The challenging one I'll say first. If you want your children to love the Bible, love the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. If God's word is important to you, if you read it, if you study it, if you orient your life around his word and his church and those things, and if your children see that, if you talk to them about that, if you can talk to them about what you're reading, what you're learning, what you're understanding, if you can bring that into parenting decisions and parenting discussions and correcting them, if they see that being a part of your life and they see it making your life better, they will be drawn to that as well. Now, the comforting side, I have tried twice now with my 13-year-old son, tried twice to set up a, hey, we're going to read the Bible. He's going to read, I'm going to read. We're going to get together like once a week, once every other week and talk about it. Twice we've had this idea. Twice we've like set it up. Twice we've scheduled it. It's happened zero times. So I'm 0-2. So let that be an encouragement that, I don't want you to think that we've got this thing where we all sit down and, I mean, that's just not what works. I'm going to try again because it's really important to me to teach them how to do that. But I promise you, if God's word is important to you and your family and your life, and it's speaking to you, it will speak through you, and your children will be drawn to it as well.
Yeah, you've kind of compared this to your sports, like a sports team before. I've heard you give that
analogy. Yes. Yeah. So many of you guys are college football fans, you know, pro fans, whatever. What I would say is, how did you teach your children to become fans of that team? You know, you watched together, you talked about it, you celebrated it, and they caught it. You know, unfortunately, my children have caught being a Gamecock. I'm building character in them. Fortitude, strength, perseverance through the tough times. But I didn't have to sit down and tell them how to do that.
Yeah.
It was just something I loved. I invited them into it, and they became fans of it. I believe God's word is the same way.
Yeah.
So good. And she mentioned the Parakeet app. It's good on so many different ways. As you know, raising kids, they interact with God in different ways, even at different stages of life. Yeah. That's what this app's all about. It says, hey, your child is at this stage. Here's how to have a conversation with them about God. Just super practical stuff.
Yeah. I love it. It's great. If you don't have that already.
Yeah, so. Did you want to talk about a little bit about how kids, you know.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that. I'm sorry. Thank you. I was thinking about the Parakeet app.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always encourage parents to know is that every child kind of relates to God in a different way, just like we do, kind of depending on what our personalities are and the way that we think and the way that we view the world. And children are no different. And so I always just like to tell parents, don't get caught up in comparing your child at a certain phase to a friend's child at a certain phase.
Yeah.
They're all going to develop a little bit differently and relate to God in different ways. And we have even seen this with our own children within our same household. And we're parenting them all the same way, but they're all unique individuals. And so they relate to God, and they're kind of developing at a different rate. Our 7-year-old now is much different, in a much different place spiritually than our 2 older kids were when they were 7. And, you know, it's just kind of being okay with that and saying, we're doing all the things, and we're trusting God with the rest.
Yeah, that's really good.
All right, so let's move on to a little bit more fun topic here. It's a little more sensitive. At what age should I tell my kids about sex? And what books would you recommend?
That's a great question.
Tell us.
So I have 3 sons, so this was my job to have this conversation. And the answer is when she told me to.
That is kind of how it went down.
That's
a great answer.
Because she told me to have the conversation so much earlier than I was ready to have the conversation.
But it was actually later than experts would say.
Okay.
I know, right?
Tell us.
It came from a conversation we were having, because our oldest are the same ages. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that most people say now, if you haven't talked to your child by the time they're age 8, they're hearing it from somewhere 8 years old.
Is what she just said.
Their jaws just hit the floor right now.
You want to see the face of an 8-year-old and you bring this topic up? Their eyes get about this big.
Yeah.
And they just start going, no!
But why is it so important that we have that conversation with them first?
Yeah, you go ahead. You know this.
Oh, because somebody's having the conversation with them. That's
it's
why.
True.
Right.
I mean, that's why they say it, because in our culture and just the way things work, and especially if you live in, you know, in influences, they have older brothers and sisters, like the conversation is being had. And so what we want to do as your church is we want to equip you to have that conversation as well, because God's ordained you to be the primary voice in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And on this topic as well, you need to be the primary voice. Yep. And we want to help equip you to have that conversation well, and to know it's not one conversation, it's multiple conversations. But 8, 9 years old is when we began having this conversation and talking about it, because we wanted to be the primary voice.
Lead that discussion.
We wanted to have that door open for many more conversations as they got into middle school and high school.
So it's funny, in our house, so it was like ripping off a Band-Aid with our oldest. Like, oh my gosh, this is such a big deal. And the conversation with our middle was fine. And now it's like a dinner conversation for us now, because they have so many questions about it, and it's on their mind, and we don't make it casual. We stress the importance of it, which is something that Wellspring Students has had done an amazing
job. They really
want
to be at our dinner table now.
I know, right?
Wait, what?
What? What is happening?
But they have questions about it all the time. They really do.
Yeah. So she brought it up. We So in students right now, we're doing a series called Made, and it's all about this topic. And you know, the world around us, the culture around us screams at us about how we should view sex. So as a church, as parents, it's important that we give them God's perspective on sex. And so we're learning things like, you know, God made sex, and so sex is made to matter. We've learned things like, hey, other people weren't created to be objects. They're valuable people. So treat them that way. We've divided up middle school and high school. April and I are teaching the high school section, and we just had a really good conversation around it. And we want you to know that we hope you're having these conversations at home. We hope that you are talking about these things. But as a church, we have your back.
Yeah.
We're having these conversations as well. And we want to reinforce what you're having at home.
Just a real quick plug on that. I have been, I'm 39 years old, been in church my entire life. I've been a Christian for 25 plus years. I've been in ministry now almost 20 years. This topic has been talked about ad nauseum. Guys, the content they're teaching in middle school and high school in our environment right now, bar none, hands down, is the best approach and the best content I have ever heard on this topic. It is the best approach to it, the best swing. It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So if you have students in our ministries, parents, there's never been a better time for you to have this conversation. If you know other parents and their students don't come to our student ministry, they can come Wednesday night.
That's right.
They're going to continue to talk about it. It's remarkable.
Yeah. So tell us, what are some resources maybe out there that
A book that we used with our kids it's called The Talk, and it's 7 Lessons to Biblical Sexuality. It's a great book. It covers the biology plus God's design, and it's set up to be done like devotionals with your child, so it kind of removes some of the awkwardness. It just gives you the language, and it's something that you're sort of doing together. So we loved it. It's on our parent resource wall. If you want to check it out, you can order it off Amazon. It's like $11 or so. I highly recommend it.
We keep pointing over here. It's in the kids' hallway.
I know. I'm pointing this
way. Parent resource wall's in the kids' hallway, in case you didn't know.
I know. You're right. I am. But it's a great book. That would be my number one recommendation. And there's a couple others out there for you too, even for just to sort of start talking to preschoolers a little bit about their bodies and how they're made by God. Another question that we were asked, just to keep our conversation going, is one mom asked, my kids say I'm the mean mom. Because I don't let them have the kind of freedom that their friends have. So how do I maintain a relationship with my child when they push back on all the rules and the boundaries?
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything you want to add to that?
Don't you have a video?
I do. If you want to add
anything. We'll do that first.
We have a video from my friend Brooke French. She leads in our preschool area. And she and her husband Brett are going to be leading at Parenting Through the Phases. And we do life with them parentally especially, and I love what she has to say about this, and I think this is something that her and Brett actually do really well, so you guys check this out.
Well, that one's hard. There is a part of, I think, every parent that wants to be liked, and they want their kids to like them, and I understand that need, but I also think it's really important that we establish boundaries and rules for our children. I mean, God has given us the privilege to parent. He's given us the gifts of our children, and I think part of that is that we do need to establish rules and boundaries for them. When they're pushing away, it makes a lot of sense, but we also have to cultivate the relationship with them. And then understanding that there are just going to be times they're not going to like what you say, and that is okay. I think if we are really modeling what Jesus has taught us as parents and what he shows us as our children, is that the relationship is the most important thing to him, but he does give us rules and boundaries that are for our good. And I think as parents, that's what we're trying to do. And lastly, I would just say it's really important that who you have around you speaking life into you as a parent. Who is in your circle? Are you letting Facebook dictate the information that comes into your home and it dictates what you're telling your children? I think it's really important that we are going to God, and we are also pursuing friendships, and they are going to God as well, that they are having Jesus as the ringleader in their home. So it really is important to me. I have friends that I can go to and say, hey, what are you doing here? How are you navigating this? What should I do? That kind of know our situation, and they are also working really hard as well.
Yeah, that's good. I love how she talked about, y'all, you have to have that relationship. You have to establish the relationship with them first. But then when you do have to set boundaries because you need to, you know, one of the phrases we hear in our house a lot is, I love you too much to let you blank. And then that's something to remind them of our the relationship we established with our child, because that's what Jesus does to us. I love you too much to let this, you know, you choose this path. So that's something that we talk about a lot in our house. And we have to cultivate that relationship with our kids on their level, where they are. So,
yeah, that's good. Relationship with them is important in order to be able to speak into them about the rules.
Yeah.
You were saying something about this earlier, Trey, about when we explain to them the why behind some of that, it helps a little bit, which kind of leads us to our next question, and then I'll let you talk a little bit more about that. But we had a question somebody asked, how do I get my teenagers to listen to me? I know that that's something that you probably get asked a lot.
You just raise the level of your voice.
Yes.
Right.
So tell us, start talking.
How does that happen? How do we get the teenagers to listen to us?
Don't we have a video?
Yeah. Go to the video. You just want somebody else to answer that question.
Like, oh, wait, we need to know. How do we get teenagers to listen to us? So,
but it's a great question, and not just our teenagers, but we want all of our kids at every age to listen to us. And sometimes as adults, we want to know how to get other people in general to listen to us.
Yeah.
So I asked this to my friend Elise Angel. She'll be leading it at Parenting Through the Phases, but she's a stepmom to two teenage daughters, and she's worked really hard to build great relationships with them. And I want you to hear what she has to say. It's so key.
It's really trying to communicate with the other parent and really try to be on the same page as much as you can with that. If that's not possible in dealing with teenagers, I have found if it doesn't make sense to them, if what you're saying, if you don't present it in a way that it doesn't really make sense to them, or if they feel like it's unfair or unjust, they will... they'll kind of buck back. So really trying to be respectful, first of all, and communicating in a way that they can hear you. That's really important. And the flip side of that, which is super important, is listening to them first. Listen to them, hear what they have to say, get the whole story, and also validation. Validating their feelings and validating, you know what, I hear you. I hear this might not be fair. I understand. Using those words so that they know that you've heard them, that you're listening.
Okay, yeah, I loved that answer. I think it is so, so crucial. And this is coming from, I'm a type A, driven, like, no, this is what we're doing, let's go. And I was really challenged with that answer because it's something we've been talking about really for the last few weeks. Because what she's really talking about is the skill of submission.
Yeah.
Because what she's saying is if you want to reach your teenager, you have to reach them on their terms. And we want to push back and say, no, I'm the boss. No. And then we remember Jesus came and reached us on our terms.
Mm-hmm.
He put our needs first. He said it in a way, and he reached us in a way we could understand. And so that's what we need to do with our kids and with our teenagers, and specifically when we're talking about how do you get them to listen, what April's talking about before. We've worked really hard in our house to help our kids at whatever age, help them understand the why behind the rule. Because we all remember... when we were kids, and you'd say, I want to do something, and your parents would say, no, and you'd say, why? And they'd say everybody's favorite words, because I said so.
Oh, they knew it. They knew
all,
it.
And you all just went, thank you, Mom and Dad. No. You were like, what? And sometimes you can't fully explain it because there's things going on, but we have always tried as much as we can to help them understand the why. Because the why reveals your heart.
Yeah.
Rules don't reveal heart. The why behind the rule reveals your heart. And when you take the time to explain a decision to your child, to explain a decision to your teenager, to reveal the why, to reveal your heart, here's what you're doing. You're helping them write the story of that situation. Because make no mistake, they're writing a story. They're telling themselves a story about you and about your parenting style 100% of the time. And when you just say, do this, don't do this, no questions, don't talk back, blah, 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 then they're free to write the story of whatever they want to assume for why you did what you did. But when you take the 5 minutes, the 10 minutes, the 5 days, the 2 weeks to walk through and to help them understand the why behind it, you get to be in charge of the story that they're telling themselves. Mm-hmm. And again, if it sounds like too much work, just go back and read the 4 biographies we have of Jesus's life and see how many times he did that for us.
Yeah.
He made sure we understood the why. And that's just so key. Especially when you get teenagers and navigating all that.
It's really good, really good. We're going to expand this a little more. We have last question here. How do you go about helping your kids learn to make good decisions? It's kind of this similar conversation.
Well, with this, you're establishing the relationship so that when it comes time for them to make decisions, number one, we give them the freedom to make some decisions. If you're always stepping in and saying, well, I know this better than you, so I'm just going to tell you what to do, you're crippling them.
Which is what I naturally want to do.
You have grown so much in that. I really have. That's, I promise. But one of the things that we've, you know, as our kids are getting older, that we try to do is help them be involved in decision-making. Number one, we model decision-making together. Remember how I said, oh my gosh, we talk so much. We talk about everything in our house. We talk about everything to the nth degree. And one of the ways we do that with our kids is we model the decision-making in front of them, praying about it, talking about it, communicating. But also, we allow them to be involved in some decisions, the process. To put legs on that, one of the things we just went through with our oldest son, David, he's in seventh grade, and he had the opportunity to be a part of, like, 5 things. And we knew when he came to us with them, we were like, yeah, you're not going to be able to do all that, you know. But instead of just saying, you're quitting this, 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 and this, we allowed him to pray about it, to have conversations with us about it. We brought him in on the decision-making, and then he landed where we knew we were going to land as a family, but he was a part of the process.
Oh, we let him there.
Yeah.
And there was no option. He was going to land there, but we made him feel like it was his decision.
Was part of it.
Yeah.
Which is key.
It's coaching. It's a coaching.
Yeah, it's coaching. Yeah. We talk about wisdom a lot.
We do.
Is this the wise choice? But honestly, man, I mean, the whole, like, there's not a whole lot you can do to prepare to make a good choice. Like, you just put in the work, you put in the effort. The key to making a good choice is in real time.
Yeah.
You need to do the work so that you have a relationship with your children, so when they have to make a decision, they're going to talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. And then just be ready and get a really good poker face, man. Like, work on your poker face. Because if they ask a question and you go, like, that's not going to work. Like, you gotta be calm. Calm with them. Go in your door and go, you will not believe what they just said, you know.
We do that a lot.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. But for us, at least, it's been earning the right to be trusted so that in real time we can talk through decisions. Well, what do you think about this? And again, for the type A drivers in the room, it takes, when you think you're being as patient as humanly possible, everyone else is receiving it as normal. So just put on your patience and just overly communicate and give them the freedom to ask questions and figure it out for themselves.
Oh, that's so true. I'm not sure you've ever given a better picture of us in real time. When you think you're being patient, everybody else just thinks it's normal.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mike and Sonia Lyons are leaders of our Starting Point class that we have here, and they're actually going to be a part of Parenting Through the Phases. They are great, so full of insight. Sonia is like a wealth of wisdom, and she is somebody that I go to. Actually, I sat down to ask her some of these questions, and I kept going, what about this, Sonia? Tell me how to do this. How do you do this? And she was like, April, I don't know. She really like got a little flustered with me. But she has so much great insight. And I asked her this, and I love the way that she responded, because she says it keeps coming back to one thing. Check this out.
I think that one of the main thing that's made a huge difference in our family with parenting is obviously when they're born, and as you go through the phases, you don't have a manual for each of your children that says you have to do this, this, and this. And the biggest manual is that we've had is the Bible, that, you know, once we get to, there's so much wisdom in the Bible, but the main thing that's really helped us every time and that we try to be consistent is prayer. We just pray together. We pray, we ask for wisdom, for specific things, for general things, for school, for activities. We pray before we make a decision as a family to commit to something, like a big commitment, like dance. For instance, every year we would pray for dance in the summer and figure out, okay, is this something that we are committing to? So for small things and big things, we made a point of prayer, including them in it too, but also for us just to pray together for wisdom as parents when it comes to discipline and things like that. So wisdom, discipline, and it's made a huge difference. When I don't know what to do about something, I just try to get on my knees, not always feel, you know, the true on my knees, but I just look up and just pray. And we pray for friends, the right friends to come along, for us to say, hey, you can't have this person as a friend, you know, it doesn't really work. So we'd say, all right, we're praying for specific, for good friends, so specific friends to come along, or the ones that are not right, we would pray and say, if they're not right friends for them, then they won't be friends. And I'll tell you, it's power, the power of prayer is huge. It's definitely worked for Camille's friends, it's worked for Morgan's friends, and also for a youth group, youth being involved at church and being involved for the right people to come alongside them, their friends, the friendship that they've made, they're making, that's huge.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I can remember, it might have been Sonia, actually, who told me about praying for their friends, and it's been invaluable because I've seen God answer that prayer so many times. And on a side note, she's raised part of my children's personal day. Her daughter, Camille, is about to graduate from high school this year. I'm going to miss her so much. But she has a huge influence on our children. So it's really cool to see how when you partner with parents who are a phase ahead of you, mm-hmm. how their wisdom speaks into your life, yeah. and how their children affect our children. That's what our church is made of. Seriously, we live that. So
And don't skip over what she said about prayer. Don't let that be like, oh yeah, pray about it. No. Pray about it.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we talked about the skill of synchronization. There is no replacement for elevating the voice of God in your life and in your family's life. And when you do that, when prayer is a part of your life, when prayer is a part of your family's life, there literally is no storm. There is no season that you can't weather when you're all listening to the voice of God. And again, back to the parenting through the phases environment, that's what we want to help create
exactly.
In every family in our church is just learning some of these skills, creating some relationships for you to ask your questions, because we really do want to see every family soar.
Yeah,
exactly. So good. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for letting us be a part of this. Thank you for the wisdom.
It was like
you
a
shared.
Regular Friday night. It was so fun.
Right. We really appreciate.
Yeah, thank
you
all for just
you
how
share.
You lead it, and just for being open about what you do in your household. I know y'all are just being super authentic, and we appreciate that. But I know everybody else does too. So y'all just appreciate them with us for a second. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we love y'all.
Well, we have one more video that we want to share with you from the Dietrichs, and I believe you're going to enjoy this one. Check this out.
You feel like we have it together?
Oh, no, that people think that.
No, if anybody knows us, they know we don't have it together.
We're pretty sure that you just asked us to do this because you asked every other parent.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
We were like the last available, last resort.
Bottom of the barrel. I'm still waiting for Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, I'm waiting for Punk to happen here. No, we don't. We definitely don't feel like we have it together all the time, but at the same time, we're okay with that. And it's part of that submission to God, and it's part of that just throwing your hands up and saying, you got this. And it's not worrying about the small stuff, and there is no big stuff because he's taking care of all that. And so I don't know how you have four kids and not throw your hands up and be like, God, you got this.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I've had people say to me, like, how do you do it all? You know, people think that we have it all together, and I can promise you we don't. Our life is a circus from sunup to sundown, and, you know, you cannot always compare because I'm just very much more laid back, where Scott's kind of more uptight. Sometimes I think I'm too laid back, but it's really just like Scott said, you know, our life is
craziness every day, all day, but we're okay with that. We know that this is, we're in the trenches now. It's not always going to be like this. We know we've got good values. Our kids have a good foundation, and we're just doing the best we can and, you know, hoping to raise four semi-decent people to send out into the world.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.